I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Well, good morning. Welcome to The Memo. It's Thursday, September 3rd. I'm Derek Russell. Joining me today is Daily Journal photographer Lauren Wood. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of nervous right
There's
now.
Nothing to be nervous. But, it's just you and you know. Forget that this is here. There's no microphone. We're just having a conversation.
Exactly. I'm excited though.
It's like a more laid back 9 a.m. meeting going over.
That sounds great.
Story. Yeah. Because we love 9 a.m. meetings around here.
Well, I have my coffee. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Well, good. So you're one step ahead of me. I haven't had any coffee yet. So what you've listened to the show now a little bit. You're filling in, of course. Brad's not here, and
I am. I know.
We hope you'll join us more often.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, I would love to. This I think is fun.
Your northern is good against my southern.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just a disclaimer to everyone. I am from Michigan. I am a Yankee. I will wear that badge.
She goes for the other MSU.
Yes, I do. Michigan State. Go Green.
So we have got a lot to discuss today coming up, news in the health department, mm-hmm. also some Star Wars news for Ooh, Star Wars exciting. Fans yes. out there. Also, Scott Morris joining us to talk about his movie review and scene this week. And our general assignment reporter, Zach Orsborne, will be joining us to talk about the texting and driving initiative that went into effect earlier this year. So we're going to get started today. We've got Dennis Sid joining us.
So, Dennis, how are you today?
I'm fine, Lauren. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, we have you here to talk about the Star Wars merchandise that's being released tomorrow. Well, tonight at 12:01. I mean, I know the movie's coming out in December, but this is kind of being, like, hyped really big. It's going to be a big thing.
Yeah, they're calling it Force Friday, and you have Disney and the toy makers just and the retailers just working together to make this big push to sell Star Wars 7 related merchandising. Let's call it what it is, toys, lots of toys. And the experts, quote unquote, they're projecting $5 billion. I mean, not tonight, but over the course of all this merchandise.
I thought that's how much you were going to spend tonight.
I was going to spend a fraction of that, you know.
Dennis and I will be going to the event at midnight.
We're just
tonight.
Trying to figure out how we're going to get a nap between now and midnight. We'll see what happens. We may carry each other out. I don't know.
So where is this going to be sold?
Here in Tupelo, it'll be Toys R Us and Walmart. We asked if we could, you know, get a sneak peek, and we were turned down. No, we can't get a
Top
sneak
secret.
Peek. But if you go online, you can, you know, see some of the toys mm-hmm. that are available. And, lots of cool stuff.
They've had, YouTube has had an 18-hour marathon event that's still going on right now, revealing all the things that have coming out ahead of the new film.
Yeah, if you can call up the Hasbro catalog, and you can see everything that they're going to be rolling out. So
are both Walmarts tonight taking part in this, or did we find out?
I'm assuming the PR person directed me toward the North Gloucester location, so which is great since
we'll be at Toys R Us.
Yeah, we'll go to both and see what's going on.
I saw Target's taking part in it too. Of course, we don't have Target here, but
I wouldn't mention that too.
The conveyor belts and the checkout had the opening crawl from the movie with coming this Friday.
So where's the closest Target?
That would be.
We might need to go to that.
Memphis. We can get close to South Haven. We can get closer to Memphis.
But this is exciting, though. I mean, if people are gonna be going out at midnight, I mean, like we were just saying, like, this is almost as big. The last biggest thing that happened like this was Harry Potter.
Yeah, I don't think midnight events like this have taken place since the last Harry Potter book mm-hmm. probably came out.
And fans, customers are invited to dress like their favorite Star Wars characters. So
I saw Dennis's costume yesterday.
Misa gonna go. No, just kidding. For you Jar Jar Binks haters like myself, ain't gonna happen.
Well, okay. I know in your column, you know, you've talked about when you were younger, you bought all the merchandise and everything.
I'm going to buy it all tonight. Who's kidding?
Yeah, I know. No, but, you know, is it something, though, that you want to stick on your up on your shelf, or is it something you want to enjoy? And, you know, like,
stick on the shelf mostly. I don't usually buy action figures or anything like that anymore as I did as a kid. I'm a big Lego fan, and I will buy some Legos to put together because that's just cathartic to me. Mm-hmm. But my 4-year-old asked where I was going tonight when I informed her she's obsessed with Star Wars. And by no fault of my own, I had nothing to do with it.
That's awesome.
That totally came of her own. But when I told her what I was doing tonight, she said, I'll stay up for midnight and go with you. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure you would. I'm interested to see, because I feel like there's a lot that I've not even seen yet that's going to be released.
And Walmart says they're going to have some exclusives.
Yeah, I think every Target's got some exclusives and Toys R Us as well. So it'll be interesting to see what all they were rolled out with if I stay awake. Still I got a feeling I'm going to get a text from you about 12:30 asking, where are you? Be asleep on the couch.
It's a good thing we got paid Wednesday. Not saying that we're going to be spending a lot of money.
Well, hopefully we'll have another story coming out over the weekend with our findings.
Wait, we're supposed to write something?
It doesn't have to be at midnight. We can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm taking tomorrow off.
Go home and get some sleep. I am too. When are we going to write? It's convenient you're taking the day off on Force Friday. Is that a holiday for you you recognize?
I'm actually going to be working.
Oh, okay. I'll be off. But that's just a coincidence, I promise.
Right.
Dennis said, thank you for joining us today.
Welcome.
All right, and now we're going to move from talking about some toys to talking about texting. Our producer, Chris Kiefer, has an interview with General Assignment reporter Zach Orsborn about his story about texting today.
Hey, Zach, how you doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing great. So I guess it's been a couple of months now since the new texting and driving law. I understand you talked to Tupelo police recently and kind of asked them about the impact that the law's had. What did you find out?
The texting ban came into effect on July 1st, and so it's been 2 months, and they haven't seen a drop in distracted driving. They don't keep specific statistics for that yet. Hopefully, within the next year, they'll have some statistics on to see if texting and driving is still a problem. But Sergeant Brett Moyer from the Tupelo Police Department said that he hasn't really seen people stop texting and driving. It's still the wrecks are still consistent with distracted driving and stuff like that.
So when they say they haven't seen a decrease, it's based on that. It's based on anecdotes and the number of accidents they've seen and those sort of things.
Yeah, so far. They keep numbers of the wrecks, just not if it's tied to texting and driving. But the careless driving, they've been consistent.
Were they surprised that that hasn't gone down? Do they get the impression that people aren't aware of the new law yet?
They think they're aware of the law. They're more cognizant of the law because a cop will drive up to a car at a stoplight and the car will be on their phone and they'll see the cop and immediately drop the phone. So they're more aware.
Busted, right?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. People are more aware that the law's in effect. They're just finding different ways to be more secretive about it.
What is enforcement now under the law? What do the police have the ability to do?
Whenever someone's in a wreck and a person accuses the other person of texting and driving, which caused the wreck, they'll keep that for documentation in case the person wants to litigate with opposing insurance. But since it's a civil infraction rather than a criminal infraction, the TPD has no jurisdiction because it goes through a justice court. Instead of it being a texting while driving citation, it's more like a careless driving citation.
But they can issue that citation.
Yeah, it's if you get caught, it's $25, but next summer it'll be raised to $100.
July 1st, is that when that change happens?
Yeah, July 1st.
Do they have the ability to pull you over specifically for texting and driving?
Yeah, if they see on your phone and you're swerving, or even if you're not swerving, they can still pull you over because it's illegal to do that.
This is a technicality, but I've wondered, particularly now that you've got smartphones that can do so much, does the law prohibit using your phone, being on your phone at all? You know, if you were in an app, if you were checking an email, if you were putting on Pandora, is that allowed and texting isn't, or is it technically illegal to be doing anything on your phone while driving?
You can make and receive phone calls, and that's pretty much it. You can't use social media. I asked them if a GPS app on your phone, if you could use that, and they said if you're still swerving, then you'll still get pulled over.
I believe it's illegal even if the car's not moving, right? If you're at a red light and stopped real quick to send a text message, that's against the law too?
I believe so. I figure if the if they see the phone while you're driving, it's still illegal.
Is this difficult for them to enforce? Is it difficult for them to see people who are using their phones and texting?
Sergeant Brett Moore was talking about how it's a dead giveaway when someone's texting driving, especially on the highway, because they usually drive slower and they kind of will go to the right or the left a little bit. So they can tell when someone's using it, and they'll pull them over usually and give them a warning and say that this is citable, but this is kind of a warning. So it's not very strict enforcement, is what I'm gathering.
Is that kind of an initial thing with your thought being that it'll get stricter as people get more used to it, do you think?
I believe so. As more statistics come out with texting and driving and deaths and stuff like that, I think it'll be way more serious.
The general impression probably is that this is more of a problem of younger drivers, but I read in your article that it's bigger than that, correct?
Yeah, even though more wrecks happen because of younger drivers distracted, they still see older people doing the same thing, but the older people have more experience multitasking when they're driving, so it's not as obvious when older people do it.
But they still shouldn't do it, right?
Exactly, they still shouldn't do it.
Anything else that surprised you, that stood out to you from reporting on this?
I did find that one of the reasons that there was so much pressure to get this bill signed, which is House Bill 389, was there was a study from the Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety, and they released a study that Mississippi is one of the worst states for vehicle laws, and just all these statistics kept piling up and piling up, and eventually they were like, how many people have to die before we do this?
And when they say worst, they mean laid back.
Yeah,
least stringent.
Yeah, and they don't have as many laws as in place as other states. They, but I mean, we're getting there. So
now I guess they do. Now they're getting caught up. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Zach. Yeah. Appreciate you joining us today.
No problem.
Turning our attention now to a little bit of statewide news. We've got our resident health expert, Michaela Morris, joining us. Michaela, how are you doing today?
I'm good, but I'm hardly expert.
Well, in relation to me, yeah. you are expert. So, West Nile, are we back with a vengeance again this year?
I would say it's shaping up about the same kind of ferocity as last year. You know, it's kind of like the flu. It just shows up in August and September instead of December and January.
We've got 45 confirmed cases, mm-hmm. I guess, year to date. Is that?
Yeah, yes, through okay. September 1.
And one death, one unfortunately. Death. Where was that at in the state?
It's in the Jackson metro area.
Okay. All
right. And most of the cases, as they have been, are in the Jackson metro area and central Mississippi. And with cases kind of scattered around the central and southern portion of the state at this point, it's a more urban mosquito.
And yeah, I heard you say yesterday they're relating more to certain areas than others, as far as ditches and stuff like that.
Well, this little bug that carries West Nile in our part of the world, the southern house mosquito,
mm-hmm.
Likes still, murky water. So it'll actually lay eggs in a bottle cap, but ditches that have been sitting and baking in the sun and just have a little bit of water in them, that's nirvana for them. Yeah. So ditches, tires, trash, gutters, they love gutters. So all the bird baths, all of those things that you get steel pools of water that'll heat up and then any organic matter in them just kind of bakes in there, that's their place. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to clean out your gutters and pick up the trash and flush bird baths and pet bowls that are sitting outside, and take, you know, if you've got a swimming pool that has been abandoned in your neighborhood, to make arrangements to get it treated.
Okay.
You know, those kind of things. It just likes, so it likes areas where there's lots of people, because those are things that tend to follow people.
But the good news is, because it's an ordinary mosquito just carrying the virus, normal repellent seems to work just fine.
Clean up your yard, wear bug spray mm-hmm. when you're out at dusk and dawn, especially. But yeah, so as you're planning your Labor Day party, you know, if you're going to be outside, make sure to set out the bug spray for folks.
Yeah, as always, especially over the Labor Day weekend.
Because even though it hasn't shown up yet in Northeast Mississippi, we know it can pop up here. Mm-hmm. Somebody in Lee County died last year mm-hmm. from it. So you just can't say, oh, it's just a Jackson-Hattiesburg thing and I don't have to worry about it.
Better not to risk it with those stakes. What are some of the symptoms of somebody that would be experiencing West Nile?
Well, most people who are exposed to it won't have any symptoms at all. Then some people will have kind of flu-like symptoms. They'll have a fever, they'll feel achy, and they'll just get over it. The people who get into trouble with West Nile are people who develop the meningitis or encephalitis, which mm-hmm. is basically an infection of your brain or your spinal cord. And those folks will have the muscle aches and the fever, a high fever, but they will also develop confusion. They'll be dizzy. They'll be really have bad headaches, and they'll be symptoms that something is not computing with their nervous system.
Right.
So in those kind of symptoms, you should get checked out immediately. So I think you're safe right now.
Okay.
Since you're inside and you have long sleeves on.
Yes, as long as you're wearing long sleeves and pants. But if you go outside, wear the repellent, especially when you're out cooking over Labor Day weekend, mm-hmm. I think is the rule there. Michaela Morris, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
All right, moving on from one more spouse to another more spouse, we've got Scott Morris joining us now. Scott, how are you doing today?
Well, I can't help thinking that you've taken a step down in Morris's.
Morris eye?
If you're going to put it that Morris eye. Morris eye is what the great Paul Stone Dunkley referred to us as the famous Morris.
Scott, you have seen a new film this week, No Escape, starring Owen Wilson and Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, I did, Derek.
How was that?
You know what? There are a lot of people will come up to me and say, man, I like your job. I would like to review movies. That's pretty cool. And it is, a lot of times, pretty cool. But this was weekends to where there's nothing really we wanted to see. And it would have just been nice to just to hang out with the family or do something. But I went to go see No Escape. Now, I didn't hate this movie. And I was really pulling for it, especially in the beginning. Let me set it up a little bit. Owen Wilson plays a failed businessman who's taking a job in some Asian country. I'm not sure they ever named it. But the thing is, just before they get there, there's a coup. And the company he's going to work for has apparently been a pretty predatory approach to the local population. And so anybody who's non-Asian and who works for that company is on a hit list. And so you got Owen Wilson, Jack, his wife Annie, played by Lake Bell, and their two kids. Their two kids were fantastic in this. The actresses are Claire Gear and Sterling Gerrans. But they're just mainly just trying to stay ahead of these revolutionaries who want to kill them, and very much want to kill them. And they make the friend with a guy named Hammond, played by Pierce Brosnan, and Hammond is the kind of guy you don't want to have over for dinner, but if anyone were ever trying to kill you, you would love to have him on your side. So he's one of those, he's kind of a mercenary type, crusty type of fellow. So that's your setup. And as a father, immediately I'm into this because I can put myself into Jack's position easily, thinking of what would you do? And this isn't really an action movie, although I guess it kind of is, but they're not. He's not doing superhuman feats or anything. I mean, you feel like they're really trying to get through this. But then I'm going along with it going, wow, why did this not get very good reviews? I'm really enjoying this. And then all of a sudden, stupid stuff starts happening.
As happens in films more often than not.
And one of the stupid things was so simple. First off, two of the actors in one scene do stupid things so that, and I think they do that just so Hammond can come save them. And there's no really reason to understand why Hammond would be there. They're running willy-nilly through the streets of this town, and and they're in trouble, really, really bad trouble, and then Hammond's there to save the day. One shot, one 5 to 10 second shot of him watching them run through and then start to follow, and then you fix that problem. But they didn't do that.
I got to ask how we were talking about this before you came in, Lauren, and I was Owen Wilson doing, I mean, he's done dramatic roles, but in an action role, I can't remember him doing anything since Behind Enemy Lines way back in the day.
Mean, he did fine. I think the movie has some structural issues. Toward the end, there's a big climactic part that I'm not going to tell anybody about, but I was just out of it. By the time that happened, it was like you can tell they're just manipulating emotions, and I could feel that. That said, when this event happens, people in the crowd were just cheering. And so folks really got into it, and right when I was out of it. Hmm. So I want people to take that as a don't always trust me. You know, if Michaela had said it, the better Morris, then maybe you trust her. But but people are really he did a fine job. And again, the kids, there are moments where they're so frustrating. I mean, if you have kids, you know that they have their own timeline for things. Mm-hmm. And so a line I wrote in the review, I'll give you a little something here, like, if any little girl had good reason to pitch a fit about the unfairness of the world, it would be when she's surrounded by dead bodies and being chased by men with automatic rifles. And these girls do at times have to be little kids, and I think that's well written. But in the end, I think there were some flaws, too. I give it a C-. It's showing at Cinemark.
Good popcorn movie, but nothing else. More than that.
Because here's the thing, you gotta kind of be in it.
Yeah.
And it's twisting, and it's gut twisting, because I mean, you're realizing we're used to seeing this, like maybe like in the movie Behind Enemy Lines, where maybe he would do stuff, he would have to hide. Mm-hmm. But it's not just him hiding, it's him hiding with his daughters and his wife.
Yeah.
And you're still, I mean, it's a very emotionally engaging movie. If it had just avoided some stupidity, it would be a lot better. But it's not like a popcorn movie. No. You don't go and say, oh, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You go and just have your emotions raked up and down.
I got you. All right. Scott Morris, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and we're going to keep along with our movies, and we're going to talk to our co-host, Derek, about he did a upcoming for the rest of the year movie preview about some things coming out, some big. Are there any that you're really interested in seeing?
Yeah, fall and getting into just the tip of winter, going right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Always Christmas Day. He's got some excellent titles. It's as much releases are now, most of them are sequels or reboots. Yeah. And I think I counted out of like the 30 I did, I think 10 of them are sequels.
Wow.
The new Transporter film is the first, which opens tomorrow. I think it's the fourth in the franchise. And then Maze Runner. You mm-hmm. read some of these. Have you read these?
I did not read that young adult
series.
Well,
we had talked about Harry Potter, and then we talked about
I am a fan of the young adult, I have not read those.
I don't know too much about that one, but that's the second mm-hmm. film in that series of a trilogy, I believe. I don't know if they'll do the split up the last film into two parts,
make
like
more money. Yep,
Hunger Games and
all of them.
Twilight. That was the other thing I was trying to think of. But some good ones that are originals, thankfully, or one that I'm looking forward to that's been adapted from a novel, mm-hmm. The Martian, which has got Matt Damon, is coming out in October.
Trailer looks very good.
He stars as an astronaut that is believed dead and gets left behind on Mars. His NASA team begins returning to Earth and realizes that he's still alive. So it's really interesting because the time it takes for them to either get back or to send a new mm-hmm. mission to get him, he doesn't have enough supplies to last, so he's got to figure out how to
survive
which just sounds like a really good twist on the usual Stranded in Space film.
Mm-hmm.
The Walk, which sounds interesting, that is a new Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie. It's about the French tightrope artist.
It's based on a true story?
Yes, okay. Succeeded,
mm-hmm.
Walk between the Twin Towers in the 1970s on mm-hmm. a tightrope, which just sounds terrifying.
Yes.
Yet another Steve Jobs film. I think this is like the 17th one that has come out since.
Ashton Kutcher, Steve Jobs at some
that
point?
That one happened, okay, and so there was one with Justin Long, and there was another. Yeah, there's been several. This one is from Aaron Sorkin, so mm-hmm. that'll be, you know, a big deal. But Michael Fassbender stars as Steve Jobs in this one. Looking ahead towards the end of the year, Crimson Peak is a big one people are looking forward to. That's Guillermo del Toro and Tom Hiddleston. horror movie that people are
oh good perfect time for Halloween.
Yes, right in time for Halloween on October 16th. Oh, there's
sorry to go back. I know have we talked about this one yet? The Paranormal Activity.
Another Paranormal Activity, and it's apparently the last one of the franchise.
I mean, those are actually scary. Those are
I gave up somewhere around 3, so I didn't see 4 and 5, but they are steadfast saying this is the last one.
Okay, yeah.
I remember them saying that with the final Final Destination movies, too. Yes. They kept saying this is the last one, and then they made another one. Peanuts movie. I'm looking forward to that, getting towards Thanksgiving. The Charlie Brown classics is it's a CG film. Cool to me. I don't know. It probably isn't anybody else. You can actually, like, see fur on Snoopy.
Oh, wow.
Just the detail that has gone into it. But they're going to do, like, the Christmas. They're going to weave in a bunch of different classics. Peanuts tales into this movie. So that one looks good. Another 007 film coming up. Spectre opens the same day as the Peanuts movie. The Hunger Games. You said you were looking forward to that.
I'm kind of curious because, like, I've seen all the other ones. I've read the books, and it's more of like, all right, this last one, how are they going to wrap it all up? And it's actually pretty intense.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how they do it.
I've not seen any of those. So.
They're pretty good, actually. Out of all of the young adult books and movies, not including Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But they're pretty good.
Another one I'm looking forward to after that is Creed, which is another installment of the Rocky franchise with Sylvester Stallone reprising his role as Rocky Balboa. That'll come out on Thanksgiving. And then I guess what everybody is looking forward to is the 7th Star Wars film in December 18th. Sparring off what we talked about earlier with Dennis, that's 30 years in the making right there. And then I know Lauren will be excited for the new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie. It comes out on Christmas Day as well.
I'm actually more excited for the Pixar movie, The Good Dinosaur.
The Good Dinosaur. There's a new Disney Pixar film coming out.
I mean, you can definitely rank the Pixar movies, but not really a bad Pixar movie.
There's really not. Yeah. Cars 2.
That's why I was like, you could definitely put some at the bottom. But
they're not really bad. And then also on Christmas, the latest from Quentin Tarantino, The Hateful Eight, another Western offering from him.
That makes me want to see it even more. Yeah. The description sounds interesting.
That one will be coming along. So definitely a lot to look forward to. Probably not as many high-profile ones as we had over the summer, but that's what happens when you get into the fall.
Which is interesting. Well, when's the big push for Oscar season? Isn't that
getting into the year and getting into January and everything? Because
he's seen kind of like funny movies, a little bit of action.
I expect probably you'll see something out of this Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, By the Sea.
Did she direct it or something too?
I'm not sure if she did or not, actually. She probably did. I'm not expecting much from Alvin and the Chipmunks, the road chip in Oscar territory. Definitely The Hateful Eight, I could see. Probably not from The Gem and the Holograms.
No. Which looks, I didn't watch that. I'm not a fan, so I don't want to, like,
you were young
offend anybody, but the movie, the preview looks terrible.
Well, it's nothing to do with the cartoon whatsoever.
Okay, that's good.
It's just the characters. They totally went away from that. So that's what you got to look forward to. Of course, it's Labor Day weekend, so a lot of things are on the back burner as far as events in town. Don't forget the Tupelo Fair going on at the Bancorp South Arena.
Yes, yes.
All weekend long. Open until midnight Saturday and Sunday night.
And even Monday.
And open on Labor Day as well. Well, we've had an episode full of news for you today, and we will be back next week with even more. We hope you have a happy Labor Day weekend. We'll be off on Monday and return on Wednesday with an all-new episode of The Memo, hopefully joined by Brad Locke. Hopefully Lauren will come back and join us.
Hopefully.
Some as well. How was it? Was it okay?
It was fun.
We didn't put you
once
through the ringer.
Yeah, once I got used to it and got,
You're good. You're fine.
Got it done.
No worries. Follow us on the Twitter at DJournalMemo. Also on the Twitter. I put the in front of it. At DJournal Now, our official Twitter for Daily Journal, and our home on the internet, djournal.com. Also, our website, memo.djournal.com, is where you can find a backlog of our episodes. Be sure to go to iTunes and review us and rate us, and that always helps us out. And we will see you guys next week.